Welcome to Crossroads Apostolic Ministries podcast. My name is Shelley Hancock, and I am here today with our guest speaker this weekend for our revival services, Brother Jackie Flannery. Welcome, Brother Flannery. I am so glad you're here. I want to first say thank you for being here, and secondly, I want to say thank you for the word of God that you preached last night. It was very encouraging and definitely along the lines of what we've been hearing recently. So with that, I would like to go ahead and kind of give it over to you if you want to just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you're from, and maybe a little bit of your background.
All right. Well, we're excited about being here with you. I'm Pastor Jackie Flannery. I pastor Tabernacle Praise of Kingsport. I've been there my whole life. I was born in the Holston Valley Hospital right there in the middle of town. I did leave for about 2 years to help out a church in Oklahoma, but I came back, and God's truly blessing. I wasn't raised in apostolic truth. I was actually raised in a Catholic church there in town. So it's been a process, and God's truly blessed us along the way.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you shared that. Why don't we go ahead and get right into the process that you went through as far as getting into ministry? You know, where did you start? When did you feel the call of God on your life? And what happened after that?
Okay. It was about, I was 18, 19 years old, and I felt the Lord leading me to a pulpit ministry. So I talked to my pastor at that time, and he said, well, let's put you in Sunday school. Because if you can do Sunday school, you can do about anything.
True.
So I did do Sunday school for about 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, how life is, gets hard with, you know, different things, work scheduling. I had to get out of Sunday school. And there was a time period, about 2 or 3 years, that I wasn't really doing anything in the church. But then one Sunday night, or a Sunday morning, matter of fact, my wife and I were sitting on our seat on one side of the sanctuary. And I looked over, and a young man that I'd known, him and his brother are twins, and he was just sitting there with his head down. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to go and pray for him. And I didn't do it. I was scared. You know, I thought maybe it wouldn't be right. It was the wrong time. So we went home that day, and we usually take a nap on Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon like everybody does. And I couldn't sleep. I told my wife, I said, I should have done that. And, come back Sunday night. And there he was. I told the Lord, I said, if he's there Sunday night, I said, I will pray for him. Mm-hmm. And there he was. I walked over. I talked to him for a few moments, told him that the Lord wanted me to pray for him. I prayed for him. He got a renewing in the Holy Ghost. And it was a really good service. About 2 weeks later, the pastor called me in. He said, I really feel that you would be good in the youth department. Would you take over the youth? And he was in that youth class. And God really moved. For about 4 years, I was youth pastor there. Became Section 1 youth president for a few years, and God truly just kept on moving. We grew our youth group up to, I think it was about 38 kids. It was really good. And then we got the feel and call to go to Oklahoma to help a church be the pastor there. And that's really, it really started off my ministry as a pastor, was that trip to Oklahoma. God was using that opportunity to mold me, to help me, strengthen me, to do what I'm doing today at Tabernacle Praise.
Okay. So going back to when you first felt that call, mm-hmm. can you maybe walk us through what that felt like, what that hurt sounded like, what that experience was like for you?
Okay. Yeah, it was a Sunday night service. Back in those days, we did Sunday night services.
Yeah.
And they were usually wild and just crazy. You know, anything could happen. Us young people, we always looked forward to Sunday night service. So I was at the altar helping, praying for a friend of mine. And it was like the Lord was telling me, I got more for you to do. Mm-hmm. And I turned around, and my pastor was looking right at me, and he even said, during his message there, or altar call time, he said, there's somebody in here needs to answer the call of God. And he was looking right at me, and I knew. I just felt it in my spirit that it was me, and I had to talk to him about that because I couldn't rest. I waited about 2 weeks before I actually went to him, and it was just on my mind all the time. I'd go to work, it was on my mind. I'd get home, it was on my mind. I talked to my wife. We'd been married about 6 months. I said, well, you know, I think the Lord has a call on my life. And she kept telling me, you know, you're going to have to talk to the pastor about it. And so that's when I finally did.
Okay. So why don't we skip ahead a little bit? You talked about being in youth ministry. Mm-hmm. Why don't you share maybe an experience that you had as youth pastor that maybe shaped who you are as a pastor today, either a kid that you worked with or some sort of experience that really has kind of stuck in your mind?
Yeah, we had a bunch of kids come through, and a lot of our kids were either single parent kids or their parents didn't come at all. Mm-hmm. We'd come pick them up, take them. As many times I didn't get home after Sunday night or Wednesday night till 11 o'clock because I was taking kids home. But we had one young man, he's still in the church today, and he came, when he first came in, you know, he was kind of the punk rocker look, you know, and I never said anything to him. I loved him, was friends with him, and he wore a big lip ring in the middle of his lip, and I never said anything to him. And he said, and just one time, he comes up to me, he says, he called me Brother Jackie. He said, Brother Jackie, he said, you see anything different? I said, you don't have that lip ring in today. He said, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He said, I got up this morning, and I was going to put it in, and my stomach started turning. So I put it down, and it quit. And I picked it back up and was doing it again, and my stomach started hurting again. He said, I don't understand it. He said, but all I knew, I was supposed to throw that in the trash. And he threw it in the trash, never wore it again. He said, and he thanked me. He said, I know that's probably not what you like for us to do is have these things, but I appreciate you not saying anything about it. And you just love me for who I was. And that's kind of how I took pastoring. I want to pastor some people the way I'd want to be pastored. I want to pastor with love, compassion, understanding, because I know that this world and life is hard, and I want to show them that love of God. You know what I mean? I want to be there as a friend, not just their pastor, you see?
Thank you.
So that's how I've done things.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I love to hear stories like that because it really highlights to me what a personal God we serve.
Mm-hmm.
He works with each one of us in our own language, so to speak. So, so why don't we go ahead and go to your, you know, starting out as a pastor. Walk us through your first couple of years, maybe something that, again, has been a landmark in your pastoral time period here, that in just those first couple of years that kind of stuck out in your mind.
Well, we came from a big church.
Okay.
And we call it the big church mentality. Mm-hmm. We didn't understand that, you know, until we went to Oklahoma. We thought everybody had 4 or 5 piano players.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody had 4 or 5 drummers. Everybody was cookie cutter Christians. Everybody looked, you know. And we get to Oklahoma and they had nothing. My wife sang a cappella for probably 6 months. And, you know, we didn't have the projector screen or anything like that. But we, when I got there, you know, we in our mindsets, we still had that big church mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to change the way we pastor, the way that we do things. And one of the biggest things that really stuck out to me was a family as rough as a cob. You know, we call them rednecks back home. And, you know, the first day they came in, the man had a bloody nose. The wife had a bloody lip. They had fist fought all the way to church.
Oh my goodness.
About coming or not coming. And they came out and they was just, like I said, rough. They looked rough. But we done the same things I did that young man. We loved them. You know, we didn't push anything on them. And she dressed, which I don't really know the best way to describe it, but just what you wouldn't wear to church ever. And but we loved them. You know, I went to their house many a times in the middle of the night to keep them from killing each other. But she came in one Sunday, and I'll never forget because it really still touches me to even talk about it. But she came in, and she had a long dress on. And she said, Brother Flannery, she said, you see anything different about me? I said, man, you got a nice dress on. Mm-hmm. She said, I woke up Saturday morning, and I said, I want to look like Sister Flannery.
Aww.
And she said, I made him get up. We went to every yard sale. I bought every dress. I threw my old clothes away because I just couldn't even put them on. And to this day,
yeah.
Her family's in church. Her daughter and her husband, you know, is a youth pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, it's just a beautiful story about, you know, starting out rough mm-hmm. and then finding that peace of God. Through nothing that I said. Mm-hmm. I mean, I never said anything about what they were wearing, but they seen the love that we had,
right?
And they wanted to be like us,
right?
So it changed it. That family changed me to what I am today, and I still pastor the same way.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So, in all of the years that you've been a pastor, mm-hmm. Why don't we turn to maybe the most enjoyable moment or the highlight thus far of your pastoralship?
Probably how God has put us in the building that we're in today. We were in a little 2,100 square foot building.
Mm-hmm.
We had two Sunday school rooms, kids sitting in the floor. We needed a building, and we were looking for land. And God showed us a building, but it was behind a church. It was their family building, big old gymnasium. I think it's 21,000 square feet. It's got an upstairs. I thought, man, that would be awesome to get. Well, it was out of our price range. So we found another piece of land. We was actually about to sign the papers for it, and they called the day before and said, we're going to have to push it out 30 days. So when they did that, the very next day, the pastor of that church calls me and said, did you find anything yet? I said, no. He said, let's talk about this building again.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back. He done knocked it in half where we could afford it.
Oh my goodness.
We buy the building, and then God just starts moving, you know, mm-hmm. different things. And I can go on with a bunch of things that happened, but one of the coolest one was we turned the gym into our sanctuary, and we painted all the ceilings black, and mm-hmm. we needed what they call dry fog. It's mm-hmm. a paint that dries before it hits the ground. Well, I went to the painter said, we need 7 5-gallon buckets. So I went to the paint store. I said, well, this is what I need. He said, well, I don't think we sell that anymore. Let me go back and look. And it's about $170 a 5-gallon bucket. She comes back. She said, if you'll buy it all, she said, I'll let you have it for $60 a 5-gallon bucket. I said, how many do you have? She said, 7.
That's
I said,
amazing.
I'll take all 7. So it's just things like that yeah. that's happened. We've seen many miracles happen in our church since then. You know, we've exploded in growth. Mm. God has really helped us with that. And it's just, we're at the point now that when they're ready, that church, we're going to be able to buy the church building, the parsonage, their fellowship hall, and we'll have that whole corner block.
That's
so
fantastic.
It's just some amazing things. And I tell the church all the time, if you're faithful to God's mm-hmm. house, he's going to be faithful to your house.
Amen.
And he has been really faithful to my wife and I throughout the years and our ups and downs. We've always put him first, and God's really rewarded that faithfulness, you know. So that's what I try to teach a lot. If you just be faithful to God, God will work it out.
Yeah.
And he definitely has worked yeah. it out in our lives.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. What is something that you as a pastor wish that maybe people, families in your church, or even anybody really in the general church community would understand better about a pastor's life?
It would probably be that we're human.
Okay.
We do things. We make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
We say things out of anger sometimes. We're just like everybody else, you know. another thing is we need family time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
for sure.
People need to understand a pastor's family takes the biggest hit.
Right.
My boys that I have take the biggest hit because I'm occupied with everybody else's
right.
family. And sometimes they do, you know, get to the back row, so to speak. So we need that family time. So I would tell people, you know, at least give your pastor a day.
Sure.
You know, not to be bugging him. You know, of mm-hmm. course, if it's something major, yes. But remember, they're human. They need rest. Their family needs them just as mm-hmm. much as you need them. So understand that part of it, you
okay.
know.
And would that be something that you would say, you would even tag on to the end of that, of prayer for your pastor? Is it that
I tell people all the time, if you run out of something to pray for me.
All right.
Because we need it.
Great advice. Okay, so I'm going to switch gears just a little bit here. Okay. Recently, you went to Thailand mm-hmm. on a mission trip. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that? How did that trip come about? And maybe give us some highlight reels here.
Well, my pastor is, who I consider my pastor is, mm-hmm. Brother Jack Cunningham.
Okay.
And he's done this trip for years. You know, his uncle, Billy Cole, started it. And he's kind of went along with that for so the past 30-some years he's been doing this trip. And he, you know, we've become really good friends. And he had just asked me early last year, won't you come be on the trip with us? And I was mm-hmm. like, man, that would be great. I've always wanted to do that. And it's just been, really, I tell people, it's a life-changing experience mm-hmm. for my wife and I. She can tell you the same thing. It's just, when we went over there, just seeing another country, we're so, and I hate to say it this way, but we are such spoiled people mm-hmm. in America. We got everything at our fingertips, and you go to a place that has nothing,
right?
You know, and you go to a place that is mostly Buddhist. You know, here, mm-hmm. you know, Christianity, even if you're not an apostolic, there's some sort of Christianity right. around you everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, when you go over there in Thailand, you are the minority. Mm-hmm. There is no other, you know, and it's mostly Buddhist. You see Buddhist temples everywhere, spirit houses everywhere, you know, but the people are very humble. They're, you know, they don't like conflict. They're very humble people, very nice, very poor. Mm-hmm. I think the average person makes about $15 American money a day. Mm-hmm. So they don't have anything. So when you come over there, it's like when you say something as a preacher, mm-hmm. they hold on to every word. Like if you okay. tell somebody, hey, if you believe that the Lord's going to give you the Holy Ghost in the next 10 seconds, and they say, yeah, I do. So when I lay my hands on you, you're going to get they get the Holy Ghost. There's That's no, amazing. Because they know anything that you say is the truth, and they hold on to that. So it's just a beautiful experience for my wife and I. Like I said, life changing. We've came back changed, ready mm-hmm. to take on the world, you know, just, and we can't wait to go back next year. Yeah. They want us to come back. So.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think that because they're so receptive to the spirit world, mm-hmm. is that, you think that's
it could
why
be
they're...
because they really are superstitious people.
Sure.
You know, that's what the spirit houses are. They're like, they look like upscale birdhouses, and each yard has them, and they'll have a little plate of food in front of them or drink cup or something, and they're really, really sensitive at that. So that could be why they're so sensitive and mm-hmm. With receiving the Holy Ghost is because of that, you know.
Sure.
But
sure.
They're very, very good receptive to anything that we say, and it was just a wonderful experience.
So was there any what we would call spiritual opposition, since it is such a spiritual oriented country? Did you experience any opposition in the spirit?
No, we didn't at that time. Now they have had different things happen, but while we was there mm-hmm. it went really good. The people were really nice. We didn't have anybody, you know, that was possessed or anything, because they've had that over the years, mm-hmm. you know, and had to deal with that. So we didn't experience none of that this time.
Okay. So is there something that maybe whenever you got over there, and maybe looking back on it now a week or so out from your trip being back, is there something that maybe surprised you, you didn't expect, you are kind of still thinking about?
Well, I'll speak for my wife too, because we both... ever since we've been back, you know, we're connected on Facebook with some of it's the people.
Okay.
I'm talking about 700 to 800 people were at that conference.
Oh, wow.
And they don't leave the grounds. Uh-huh. After the service is over, they go outside the tabernacle. They sleep on the ground.
Oh, my
They're
goodness.
Eating scraps because they just want to be at the conference. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think, here we are in United States. We got to go, when we go to a conference, we want a good hotel, you know. We want to eat at the Olive Garden here and all this
of
kind
course.
Of stuff. And here they are, so hungry for the right. Word of God, that they travel from everywhere, and they just say, hey, give me a piece of ground to lay on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These people just, it's a beautiful spirit that they have. And And like when we pulled up to the first service, there was two lines of people from the road to the tabernacle. And when it's almost like, put it over here, it's like the red carpet almost. Uh-huh. You know, you're like a Hollywood movie star, you know. And they're giving you flowers. They're hugging your neck. They're bringing their children out for you to shake hands with. And they're just ready for church. And they do that the whole time. We had one part that the men would bring neckties that they don't wear anymore or they're going to give away. And we bring those neckties. And at the last service, they put them on this big old table. And they let the young men, the young ministers, the pastors, even their board come up and they can pick a few times. And they treat that like it's Elijah giving the mantle over to Elisha. And we had a young boy that was with his friends sitting over on the side, and I'd prayed him through the Holy Ghost. And he had a little white t-shirt, you know, undershirt that we would wear. And it was all ratty. And but his buddies, you know, they had a little tie on, you know. And I told my wife, I said, I'm going to take my tie off. And I'm going over there and give it to that boy. And I took my tie off, went over and said, I want you to have that. You would have thought I'd laid $1,000 in his hand. His head went straight down.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was just thanking me in their life. Thank you, thank you. And I seen him after the service, and he had that tie tucked under his arm, proud, like just, I'm so proud of this. And it has just touched us how what we take for granted over here, it's nothing like that over there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just amazing. I wish everybody could experience what we can experience, or what we did experience.
For sure. For sure. So going back to what you said about them being hungry, not just, I mean, in a physical sense, obviously, but just being hungry for a move of God.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of seeing a touch of that here in the U.S. And as you were talking about in your sermon last night, you know, your church is experiencing that hunger and people are starting to dwell in the presence of the Lord a little bit more than the normal for the U.S. Tell us a little bit about that.
About here in the U.S.?
Yeah, about your church.
Well, just last night, they, of course, you know, while we were here, they had service last night. And a lady came from a local Baptist church, and it's the biggest Baptist church in our town. Everybody knows where it is, that type of thing. And she came with a friend to our prayer meeting last night, and they said she worships really good. And they got to talk to her after the service, and she said she wants to come to our church. She said, because I worship God just like I did here at that Baptist church. And they make me get up and go to the back of the church because they said that kind of worship disrupts the service. So they make her move to the back. And she said, I don't like that.
Oh my goodness.
So I believe what we're going to be seeing in this last days, we're going to see people from other denominations that feel what we feel, that don't really understand everything. But when they come into our service and they're seeing things that's going on in our service, we had two other young kids come from another church last night as well, and they got to worship and pray in our prayer meeting. And I believe we're going to see more of that. We had a Church of Christ couple come that seen us on Facebook having these prayer meetings, and they came last week. So the more that, and I encourage any church to do that. I know it takes sacrifice. I even tell my people, I said, I don't expect everybody to be here every single night. I mean, this is the real world here. But pick, you know, we have family prayer on Tuesday night. I said, pick one more day. You know, just pick another day and come and see what God's happened. But some of our people will come every day. But I encourage any church to start this, because when we pray as a group, I believe in this last day and hour that we're going to see some great things happen. We have seen people be baptized. We've seen people receive the Holy Ghost in these prayer meetings, because I think in our mentality sometimes we think it can only happen on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. You know, the other stuff, it can happen anytime, any time of the day and any day. So I encourage any church to start that. And that's what's really kind of fueled our church right now with excitement, is these prayer meetings. And we have good church. I'm not saying we don't on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, but something about these prayer meetings has really excited our church. And they really started that when we was in Thailand, and they would have prayer meeting the same time we was having church there.
That's fantastic.
And it's really sparked it anyway.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of no program, nothing, no agenda. You're just trying to stay in the presence of God as long as possible.
Yeah, what we do is every other day we'll do live music with the praise team. But then the day we don't do live, we just have music going. We'll have somebody kind of open it up. We get into praying, and we just tell people, when you feel that you're finished, you're dismissed. And it's we've had a few of them go 2 hours in prayer meetings. So it's there. The hunger's there.
Yeah.
We just got to open the door for people.
Right.
You know,
whet their appetite.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I do appreciate you sharing your experience and being willing to just share your life with us a little bit. And we are looking forward to church tomorrow.
Amen. I am too. Praise God.
Thank you. We appreciate it.